We have a living legend, and maybe a legend in the making in the Chiefs-Patriots game. We've got the Raiders and Seahawks flying across the pond to play in London. We have got one of the biggest rivalries in the NFL when the Steelers go to visit the Bengals in Cincinnati. We're going to talk about this and a lot more. Welcome to the Future DFS Podcast. My name is Garen. I'm here with Christian. Christian, how you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty good, Garen. How about yourself?
Really good. Really good. Really excited to get into this podcast. Excited for this week in football. So, I'm just ready to jump right in. But before we do, you want to tell the people where they can find us?
Yeah, absolutely. So you can find us on Twitter at FutureDFS. You can find us on Facebook at Facebook.com/FutureDFS. And be on the lookout for our upgraded website coming out, hopefully in a couple of days.
Excellent, man. Definitely looking forward to that. A lot of good stuff going on with Future DFS right now. So how are you feeling after last week, man?
I'm feeling pretty good. We learned a lot last week, I thought. Some learned tight ends. They are so bad. If you're not in the top tier, you're going to have hit or miss games, position to destroy it. And he didn't. So, it doesn't mean we can't play him anymore. It just means that it's just a reminder that the tight end field is pretty rough. We also learned that Titans offense is anemic at best. And even if they play the Buffalo Bills, they're probably not going to do that well.
Right. Speaking of the Buffalo Bills, in my opinion, and they only scored 13 last week, I don't think the Bills are anywhere near as bad as what we all thought they were going to be coming into the season.
I think the Bills are actually sneaky good.
Yeah.
Their defense isn't too bad. Their offense struggles a little bit, but they can still get stuff done. I think the only reason you want to keep targeting against them on defense is because there's enough mistakes to go around that even if they score points, you're going to get a couple interceptions and some sacks.
Exactly. Just unlike how we all felt, the first week or two of the season, don't go into targeting Buffalo feeling like it's a lock, because it's not anymore. So it's definitely a team that we need to respect.
Yeah. Ask the Vikings how that turned out.
Exactly. So, yeah, hopefully we get more right than we do wrong this week. I definitely did last week. So, let's dive in. But before we get into the NFL, just so you guys know, at Future DFS, we cover NFL, NBA, MLB. We do NASCAR. We've done a little bit of PGA. We also do NHL, which is what I want to talk about just for a couple of minutes. And the biggest reason is out of the four major sports, it's probably the one that is the least saturated. So it kind of gives you an opportunity. If you're just getting into DFS and trying it out, you maybe want to jump into basketball or jump into football, the people that have been playing DFS for a while have been on those sports since day one. So there's still some uncharted waters in NHL, and kind of gives people an opportunity to maybe kind of get a leg up on the competition because it's not as saturated. So I just wanted to take just a couple of minutes to kind of talk about the ins and outs of lineup building and kind of do a back and forth with Christian. I know that NHL is not one of your biggest sports, so kind of you can kind of be the voice of the people in this conversation who might not know a lot about the NHL or NHL DFS.
Absolutely. I think that's perfect. I just know that when we first met, you had me jump on that and gave me some guidance, just like we give our subscribers, and I made some money. So excellent. Even without knowing anything about it, it is an easier field to play in just because it is a little more niche.
Right. So when you build an NHL lineup, the biggest thing that you guys want to focus on is correlation. And what I mean by that, and we also do it for GPPs and NFL, is making sure that you've got guys that are playing together. And the reason for that is so on FanDuel, for example, you get 12 points for a goal, but you get 8 points for an assist. And in the NHL, unlike the NBA, two guys can assist one goal score. So if we'll use the Pittsburgh Penguins, for example, if Malkin passes the puck to Hornquist and Hornquist passes it to Crosby and Crosby scores, you've got all those points. And if it's a shorthanded goal or a power play goal, there's bonuses for that. But you get a lot more points versus just having just the goal score. So you want to look at what the lines are, and kind of play off of that. And another thing is, I always play the best goalie. It's kind of, we talked last week about not trying to be the smartest guy in the room. The chalk goalie is the chalk goalie for a reason. I want the win, I want the points, so that's kind of the route I go with that. And it's just all about finding the best matchup. And lastly, NHL DFS is another great reason to sign up with Future DFS, because there aren't a lot of companies out there that do what we do and have an optimizer for NHL. You'll have optimizers for football, basketball, maybe baseball, but very few of them have one for NHL, and we do, and it's been doing a really good job lately. So, do you have any other
Yeah,
questions about
that's
NHL?
excellent. Yeah, so like the first thing that pops into my mind is how would you determine what stacks you're going for in terms of, putting people on the ice together?
Okay. So the first thing I do is I look at Vegas. I want to see which games are going to be the highest scoring games. Usually a high scoring game will have an implied game total of six, 6.5. And I want to look for a team that is has a high money line. So maybe a minus 170 or better. If I can find a team that's minus 200, that's fantastic. And then I'll look at that team and see which line has been producing. So there's four lines typically. You've got your first line, second line, your third line's kind of like your reserves, and your fourth line, those guys play probably the least amount. So I really only want to focus on players from lines one and line two. And I'll grab, one of those lines and pop it into FutureCast and just kind of roll with it.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I think that's good. I think it's important, no matter what sport you're playing, to look at the Vegas totals. Vegas knows what they're doing, right? I mean, they make a living off this.
Exactly. So, yeah, that's I just wanted to touch on that, you guys. Go to facebook.com/futuredfs. Sign up with us. We've got our Slack chat channel where you can always reach us. Definitely dive more in depth into the NHL in there. And I help people build lineups one-on-one. So whatever you guys need, again, facebook.com/futuredfs, also Twitter at futuredfs. Get signed up and really kind of dive into this one a little bit more once you're signed up. So
Yeah, excellent. So while we're on the note of other sports, I just want to spend some quick time, a couple minutes, to hit on the changes on FanDuel to the NBA. I know this is a touchy subject for you, but I personally hate it. I think they're kind of ruining DFS for the NBA.
they are.
And basically, if you don't know, what they did is they're going to add an extra spot and you're going to drop a score now, correct? If you want to
Correct.
dive in a little deeper to that, how that works.
Yeah, so basically, they are whoever your low score is that night. Maybe it's a guy that got late swapped, or, you know, he has a rough night. That score doesn't count. And I'm going to tell you why it ticks me off, and then you can tell the people of the world how to best work around this. So I believe you get out what you put in. And the people who work hard at building their daily fantasy lineups, they're getting screwed over. Thanks a lot, FanDuel. Because the people that are willing to work harder, dive deeper, dig deeper, or the people who are willing to join up with a company like ours, they get screwed over because, you know, you're either putting in the extra work or you're putting in the extra time to read our articles, and they're taking away your advantage. So I'm sure that there's going to be some sort of workaround. I know that we're going to come up with a solution. I'm sure Christian has one. He's going to drop some knowledge on you guys. But that's just how I personally feel about it.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. I really hate it. It just waters down the playing field. It waters down the game itself. And that's not what you want, because this is supposedly, like, legally a game of strategy, right?
Exactly.
And now you're getting rid of a lot of the strategy and just allowing it to be just like a hodgepodge. So initially, obviously, we're gonna test this as soon as the season officially starts and really get that test results out to you guys quickly. But just looking at it from a DFS mind, my first instinct is to take advantage of that drop by automatically dropping the player, right? So basically go out as a lineup when you're picking your lineup and pick the lowest price guy who doesn't even matter if he plays or not, or you pick a really low price flyer who has the potential to go off but costs literally nothing. And through our notes, we'll provide you with those guys really easily. And then you spend that extra money paying up somewhere else for somebody who you know in cash is going to hit, because you want guaranteed performance in cash. And just dropping random scores is dangerous, because at the end of the day, people don't always perform, right?
Right.
So if you could go in there and just and pick that person already, take the flyer and use that money to get you some guaranteed cash, that's what I think is going to be the workaround right now.
I love that strategy. I really do. I mean, first of all, I think that the best thing about that strategy is people will look at, and maybe other people are on that too, but it gives us the opportunity, because we do dive deeper, to let people know not only which guy to just kind of punt with, but now that you've got that extra money to use another stud, not every stud is viable every night. So we're going to tell you how to best allocate that extra money. So hey, that could really work, man. I really like that.
Yeah, I think it will. And like I said, we'll provide that information for you. And I mean, it will also be cool if that flyer goes off and you get to drop somebody who just underperformed, and all of a sudden your lineup is like sitting at the top of your ladder.
Yeah.
So it's great.
And hey, just so you guys know, we don't just cover FanDuel. We have DraftKings notes, DraftKings optimizer. So if this isn't your thing, if you're like, I'm not getting on board with what FanDuel's doing to the NBA, we got you covered on DraftKings also. So football, ready to hop into it?
Yeah. Yes, my baby, also known as the football game. Yeah, I'm so excited. A lot of good games this week. A lot of playoff implications this week, which is kind of funny considering we're only in week 6.
Right.
But there's some teams who were viewed to be superstars who are losing, and there's some teams who had no idea were going to come out and win like this. So it's going to be fun. One thing I do want to point out about this slate is a lot of your – games that you want to pick from, not a lot, excuse me, there's a couple games that you're going to be wanting to pick from that aren't actually on the main slate. The Patriots Chiefs game is the crazy game that everybody wants part of. That's not a main slate. Mm-hmm. We're still going to talk about it, but just take that into consideration when you're building your lines and going over our notes.
Yeah. And normally I only play the Sunday main slate, but I'll definitely have some Sunday, Monday slate, and I've got a little bit of Thursday, Monday slate this week. So Yeah, just because of, well, that game in particular, I definitely wanted to get a piece of. So let's, that one has the highest total, highest game total. So let's go ahead and jump in and talk about that one first.
Yeah, absolutely. So the over-under on that game is 59 points. That means everybody's scoring. It's a big test for the Chiefs. It's also a big test for the Patriots because they have some weak spots this year. They haven't come out and looked like the normal Patriots. And once everybody starts hating on them, they come out and they do things that nobody expected. So I expect this game to be really interesting. Basically, if you're playing the slate that includes this game, you want exposure and you can play almost anybody. On the Patriots side, Tom Brady, he's going to throw touchdowns. The Chiefs defense is weak. James White is going to be fire. I wish he was in the main slate because that'd be awesome. Sony Michel is going to kill it, and he's going to be more of a GPP play because everybody's going to flock to James White. The Patriots receiving core is always kind of, a dart throw. So I would stay away from that except in GPPs. And then, Gronk's ankle's bothering him, but the dude's a beast. He's going to come out, he's going to play, and he's going to put points up. And same thing on the Chiefs side. That offense is probably the most dynamic offense I've seen in a long time, maybe only behind the Rams. And Andy Reid's a genius, so they're going to, I mean, you could play anybody from that side of the ball. It's going to be a shootout. It's going to be fun.
It's going to be a lot of fun to watch. I'm really, really looking forward to that. Honestly, there is, for me and the way that I build my GPP lineups, there is not a lot that I'm gravitating towards with this game in particular. One, just because typically I will stay away from games that are getting this much attention. Because when I build a GPP lineup, while I don't try to do the craziest thing and grab guys that nobody's ever heard of, I also don't want to grab the guys or the games that everybody's thinking about. So, from a GPP standpoint, I'm kind of off on this one, personally, but I mean, there's definitely going to be some plays in here that, are going to be viable and will be in GPP lineups that cash. But yeah, that's kind of where I'm at with this game as far as from a GPP standpoint. But everybody that you mentioned is definitely viable in cash. And if you guys are playing the slate that includes this game, you're gonna want to grab pieces of it. So.
Definitely. And then, and speaking to the games for GPPs, as we move down the slate, and into the more mid over-unders, implied points and totals, we could point out some GPP games that are there because that's usually that sweet spot, because the highest over-unders is where everybody flocks to, because that's where the points can be scored, right?
Right.
It doesn't mean other people aren't scoring points. So that's how you differentiate a little bit in terms of game decisions.
All right, so on to the next game. Dude, let's talk about the Atlanta Tampa Bay game.
Yeah, absolutely. So 57.5 point over under. This is your cash game that you want to target. You're going to need somebody from this game to win in cash. It's going to be crazy. Last week, I know the Falcons underperformed when they played the Steelers. That was supposed to be a big blowout too, but the Steelers defense really stepped up, and they're a team who was, supposedly be in the playoffs in the Super Bowl at the beginning of the year. So, we knew their defense would come around to at some point, right? It's not perfect yet, but it changed a little bit. The Buccaneers, they're not going to come around. They're not going to get better this year. They're just going to be bad, right? And the Falcons defense, they're just really injured. So most of their key pieces are hurt or not coming back this season. So it's just going to be a passing fest. There'll be a lot of points scored. And that's why I think you're going to need somebody from here. On the Falcons side of the ball, Matty Ice is probably my favorite quarterback. He's going to throw touchdowns against that horrible D. Julio Jones is a mid-tier cash play, also a GPP play, just because he's been underperforming. And he's priced down a little bit, which makes him interesting. From this game is Mohamed Sanu. The guy's balling out. He's getting tons of targets. His yard after catch is really high right now. He's catching most of his balls. He's scoring touchdowns. He's just doing it all. And he's just a great play. And his price is so cheap. He's probably my only lock on this slate right now. 100% lock. On the other side of the ball, you've got a lot of great things going on there too. Jameis Winston this week is a cash play because he's going to have to throw the ball to keep up with the Falcons. Mike Evans is always a beast. Nobody really talks about him, but he always does a great job. So against this weak Falcons defense, he's going to catch the ball. So he's a cash play for me. And then D-Jax, who's usually your GPP like bomb threat, right?
Right.
Just either blows you up or blows the other guy up. He's actually kind of cash viable because he's playing really good right now, and they're going to have to score points, and he's going to get the ball,
Yep.
even two or three times. Two or three times to D-Jax is 95 yards and a touchdown, right?
Right.
So I'm all over that.
Yeah.
And then Cameron Bray, OJ Howard is originally this week was projected to be out, but apparently he's like flying through the process of healing from an
Yeah,
MCL sprain. But
he
it doesn't
practiced
matter.
today, so
Even if he
fully.
plays, it's baffling. Like, it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
I mean, if he plays, I still like Cameron Bray, just slightly not as much. But I don't think he's going to go out there and take a lot of snaps because they need him healthy because he's a great, great tight end. And Cameron Bray has this crazy rapport with Jameis Winston. I think they have like this bromance going on, and he just throws him the ball. So that's going to happen again. And I believe he's $4,500 on FanDuel. I mean,
Yeah.
that's pretty solid for a tight end. It was going to get a touchdown.
Yeah, I think for cash, if OJ Howard is out, it's going to be a game time decision, I think. But if OJ Howard is out, I definitely want some Cameron Brate at that price in my cash lineups.
Absolutely.
Oh.
And then a GPP play, Chris Godwin. Can't forget about him.
Yeah.
He's a boomer bust, but he can catch some receptions.
One play for GPPs that I really like that I don't think a lot of people are going to think about is pairing Matty Ice with Julio Jones. I think a lot of people are thinking, okay, Julio's the star, so I'm going to grab Calvin Ridley. Or I'm going to grab Mohamed Sanu. And like you said, Mohamed Sanu is a cash lock. Guys, don't think Mohamed Sanu in GPP this week. Think Mohamed Sanu in cash. The reason I like Julio is he hasn't been super Julio-esque thus far this season. He's not super cheap, so that's going to – people are going to be like, oh, I don't want to pay that much. He hasn't done anything. Guys, look. His last six games against Tampa Bay at home, he scored touchdowns. He scored 10 touchdowns in his last 12 games against them. He likes producing against this team. This is the game I think he turns it on. I think we can pencil him in for $1.50 and two touchdowns. And I don't see his ownership being between 15% to 17%. So I really like that play, and that'll probably definitely be in some of my GPP lineups.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's great. And then if you notice, I didn't mention Calvin Ridley because he's priced too high this week to be viable really in
Yeah.
anything, unless GPP. But at that price point, you could probably find somebody who's in a little better position.
Right. So let's see, did you have anything else on this game that you wanted to go over?
No, I think that's solid. Definitely don't play the defenses though.
No. I've got the Broncos and the Rams up next. What do you?
Yeah, so it depends where you're looking. Bengals, Steelers, or Broncos, Rams, they're both floating between like a 52 and a 53 and a half point over under. So let's start with Rams, Broncos. For the Rams, I mean, they're so good. They're a dynamic offense. The Broncos, who are known for their defense, are actually playing very poor defense right now. If I'm not mistaken, they're like at the right around the 50% mark, right? Floating
Yep.
around in there. And they're just not going to be able to stop that Rams offense. Because of that, even though it's a high over-under, you're also looking at majority of those points going to the Rams. I feel they're going to get out to a lead quick. All their receivers are viable, which makes it a dart throw, unless Kupp and unless Kupp is not playing, but he's trending like he's going to play due to that concussion.
Right.
So it's going to happen, and just in my opinion, I think you're going to have to guess on a receiver who's going to throw some points, and then Gurley's just going to run the ball out and score a ton. So Gurley is available to play in any format just because he's so amazing, but his price is so high this week. He's $9,500 on FanDuel and 10K on DraftKings. So you're really gonna have to find places to pay down, which makes him a little more of a GPP play because he is so expensive. People are gonna
Absolutely.
shy away from him. But if you could find a way to squeeze him in the lineup, he's good for about 30 points a week. The my only concern this week in cash with him is that he's so expensive. Those guys you're paying down to aren't gonna be guaranteed those points. So I don't really like it. On the other side of the ball, for the Broncos, I mean, they're nothing too exciting. I really don't. I'm really not looking at the Broncos for DFS this week. Season long, obviously, start your Emmanuel Sanders and it's probably it. But other than that, I'm kind of shying away from them.
I've got nothing for the Broncos this week. Gurley, I do love for GPPs because of his price, and the we're expected to have winds of 15 miles per hour or more in this game. So I think that gives Gurley even more of an opportunity to run the ball. And like you said, I think the Rams run the score up quick. I think that means that the ball is going to be in Gurley's hands more often, and if the winds are as bad as as the Weather Channel's predicting it to be, then I just think it makes even more sense to hand the rock off. So for the amount of touches he's going to get in this game, I as a GPP play, I absolutely love this. So
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's great. Moving on to the next game at that over under range is the Bengals Steelers. This is another super high implied total. This is going to be a closer game. I like a lot of things going here because of the implied total, but I do want to point out my concern with this game. Being a Steelers fan and you being a Bengals fan, we've watched probably every time they've ever
Right.
played, right? What's the one thing that always happens?
It gets chippy, man. It
It gets chippy. They fight. There's just bad blood all the time. And when you get chippy and your defenses are hating each other and they come out to play, this game almost never hits its over under. This is a game I always shy away from, in terms of like sports betting. It's kind of like the Steelers Ravens games. These are always, not always, but pretty close to, what did I say last week? They were in the past 10 years, there's a 3-point differential
Right.
on those games. The Steelers and Bengals aren't far off that. So you have to be careful with that. It could turn into a lower scoring game and really hurt your lines.
I've been concerned about the same thing all week. I'm going to be at the game, and this year I feel like the Bengals have really, really stepped up on their discipline. Just the past couple of years, I think the refs have tossed out more yellow laundry against the Bengals than, in a long time. And this year they've really kind of cleaned up their act. But man, just thinking about this game, I'm like, I can just see yellow flags flying this entire 60 minutes. So
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and even if the Bengals have cleaned up their act, the Steelers are the most penalized team in the NFL right now. They just cannot play disciplined football. So once you add that next dynamic of hating somebody, it's going to get ugly. On that note, for the Bengals, there's the side I'm leading towards because their offense is pretty amazing right now. I like Andy Dalton as a low-priced cash play. Tyler Boyd, man, that guy's amazing. You can always play him. As of right now, he's doing great. He's a great cash play. AJ Green's a mid-tier cash and a definite GPP play because he's facing a very good corner. And he doesn't always perform his best against good corners. He's one of those guys that you can predict statistically on his matchups to a cornerback. He's not cornerback proof. You know, he's not your guys who can, like an Antonio Brown, who can definitely get by that, right?
I think. Go ahead.
Go ahead, go ahead.
I've got Tyler Boyd projected for 12 targets this game, which kind of goes right in line with what you're saying.
Yeah, no, I think it's a great play. And then on the running back side, the Steelers giving it up to the running backs. They used to be a bend not break. Now they're just a gash play defense. So Joe Mixon, man, the dude's amazing. He recovered from that knee injury like nobody's business. Giovanni Bernard is out this week, so you don't have to worry about Bernard stealing some touches. You have Mark Walton, who, I mean, he's not going to get the ball. So Mixon's a really, really good cash play, especially against that Steelers D. And then on the other side of the ball, the Steelers are going to be more of a GPP play for me. Their offense is amazing, right? But because of that, it's known their pieces are so expensive. Juju's the number one receiver, just like Antonio Brown, right? They're both in that price tier. It's crazy. Big Ben is the highest priced quarterback on the slate. And Connor is pretty expensive too. If I had to pick somebody specifically, I like Connor because I think he has to go out and prove himself this weekend. And the Bengals aren't perfect against the run. They're not exactly bad either, but he's going to have some opportunities. The receivers are more GPP plays for me. And I think Ben's a great GPP quarterback because he is so high priced. He has the ability to make that a shootout. And he's definitely going to be on the lower owned side of things.
From a GPP standpoint, so back in week four, I mentioned on our site that going back to last year, the Falcons and the Bengals were number 32 and 31 against giving up yards to a pass catching running back. And even though the Bengals aren't playing the Falcons this week, they're still not great at defending against pass catching running backs. So that coupled with the fact that, like you said, Connor's out to prove himself this week, with Le'Veon Bell on the horizon, I really, really, really like James Connor this week. And I also like Mixon. I think where Mixon's priced at, I think that his ownership is going to be a little bit lower because I think people are going to say, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and just pay the extra couple of dollars and pay up for Melvin Gordon. And that's going to kind of pull people off of Mixon. So I do like him for GPPs this week as well.
Yeah, and that's a really good point because Melvin Gordon is balling out, and he's a player who's in my cash notes. I love him, but because you're saving money on Mixon, and he actually has a better defensive matchup against the Steelers, who would ever thought we're saying that, man? The Steelers are a worse defense than the Cleveland Browns. How is that possible? But it's the truth. So, Gordon's going to be getting his points through the air, not so much on the ground. And that's fine because he's that good. But Mixon's going to have the opportunity to get some through the air, but he's just going to gash that defense.
I mean, so on a personal level, I'm really looking forward to this game, and the DFS level, I'm kind of like, but we'll see. So,
Yeah, we'll see. You'll see live, and I actually might end up be going to this game too because I'm coming back from my trip a little early. So I
okay,
might try to
nice,
swing down there.
nice.
So next game up is the Seahawks and the Raiders at a 48-point over
Yeah,
under.
on the other side of the pond.
On the other side of the pond, and they're playing like a normal time, like in like US time,
Yeah,
right? Like
1 o'clock. So I think it was like 6 o'clock p.m. over there, which I love. I'm like, thank you,
yeah.
NFL. Thank you. I don't want to get up at 9
Yeah.
o'clock in the morning to start watching football.
Exactly. Well, plus you get a good game on the slate, which is
Yeah.
fun. So the Seahawks, the only guy, actually the only two guys I'm really looking at this game for cash who I'd even consider would be Marshawn Lynch and Chris Carson. Both defenses aren't the best. They're both giving it up to the run a little bit. And Marshawn and Chris Carson are both medium priced. They're not crazy expensive. Marshawn Lynch is the guy I like more. He's playing really well right now. He's just a hard runner and he just grinds, man.
Yep.
And then the only other person I have to mention from this game would be Mike Davis. He's splitting the workload with Carson, and I would consider him a GPP play and definitely somebody you could flex into your season long lineups right now. I mean, he's I think he's going to get something on this Raiders defense.
Right. From a GPP side, Lynch is the guy that I'm on. Last week, he kind of regressed a little bit. Had a, I don't know, it was a down week for Lynch last week. So, as it always is, and as it always will be in DFS, the flock gravitates towards guys that are putting up the numbers immediately. So, with his regressions, people are going to fall off. And then over the last couple of years, the London game, the ownership has kind of trended in a downward direction as far as players playing in the game in London, just because I think people are worried about the travel and the adjustment and all that stuff. So, from a GPP standpoint, this is definitely a good grab this week, as far as Lynch is concerned.
Yeah, absolutely.
And
So as we move down the list, oh, do you have anything else in this
nope,
game?
that was
Sorry.
it. That's the only thing I like is in that game.
Yeah, not a lot of other things going on there. As we move down the list, we're getting to the 46.5 point over unders in the lower 40s. Excuse me, as we get through this. So these are starting to get into your more GPP plays. Definitely not pulling too much cash players from here on down. I'll point them out and highlight them. Because they might be people in good positions, but overall, as a team, these aren't the teams that you're targeting or anybody's really
Right.
targeting, right? So the next game on the list, or depends where you're looking. You got three teams all within like four teams, excuse me, all between like 44.5 to 45, 46 point over under. We could just kind of pop them all out. You got the Packers 49ers. You've got the Jets versus the Colts. And you got the Redskins, Panthers, and you got the Chargers at the Browns.
Yep.
Packers, 49ers, I'm not really getting anywhere into that game.
No.
Unless I see some major injury news on the receiver core for Packers, there's nothing in there for cash that I really like. And the 49ers are just beat up, man. They're projected to score by about 18 points, so we definitely don't want anything to do with them.
Yeah, keep an eye on the Matt Breida situation. Depending on what we hear about him, I don't mind Alfred Morris as a GPP flyer. I'm really hoping that Breida literally comes down to being a game time decision because it's just going to keep the ownership on both of those guys lower. And I think Alfred Morris has an opportunity to put up some numbers, some decent numbers, especially as in a GPP. And then I don't hate Aaron Jones, for a GPP either, but other than that, I not on a whole lot, kind of back and forth on Graham.
Yeah, definitely just a game you're kind of like, eh, okay, move on.
Yeah.
Next up, you got Jets Colts. Again, this game's gross. Both teams are not playing their best. The Colts are trying to find their identity. The Jets are making a lot of mistakes with the young quarterback, and they're trying to find their identity. Not something you really want to put into in cash. The only guy I do kind of like, if Hilton stays out, which it looks like he might, is Chester Rogers. The Colts are throwing the ball a ton. I believe nobody has thrown the ball more than Andrew Luck this
Nope.
season.
And I've got him projected
And
to throw 50 plus times again this week also, so.
yeah, so it's not going to change. And generally speaking, if you're looking for a lower priced receiver in cash games, you want a slot receiver. And Chester Rogers is the slot guy, right? And if T.Y. Hilton doesn't play, he's going to get some extra looks. He's going to eat some of those targets. He's been targeted over 10 times in the past two games, and he's like $5,700. So, whew,
Yeah.
I like that. So keep an eye on Hilton, and that's something to keep in mind.
Guys, in a large field GPP, and I'm not talking like your 500 player single entry. This is not the place for that, but like in a there's 30,000 people in this GPP. I don't hate Chester Rogers and Andrew Luck. Andrew Luck is still kind of in the I need to prove myself to the world mode. He doesn't have a running game to speak of, so like, he's been throwing the ball a ton. The targets have to go somewhere. It looks like they're going to go to Chester Rogers this week, and some of those targets have to start landing, and I think as he keeps going, I mean, it's just going to get better and better. I feel horrible for him, and he's just
Yeah,
so
definitely.
talented with no weapons. It just breaks my heart. But, as a GPP flyer in a large field GPP, I really, really, I like this. So,
Yeah, I agree with that. That sounds good.
aside from those two guys, I've got nothing else in this game.
Me neither. All right, so moving on, we got Redskins Panthers. This is another game that I'm just kind of grossed out by. Both defenses are very solid. But then the Redskins are kind of showing some weakness. You thought that their solid defense was going to slow down the Saints, and that didn't happen. But the Panthers are not the Saints on offense. They're still pretty solid. I mean, Cam Newton's always somebody you could kind of mention in cash games just because he runs the ball so much. But this week, there's so many other better quarterbacks that I'm not even thinking about him. Christian McCaffrey is another one. He catches the ball a ton.
Dude's a beast.
But again, there's so many other guys around his price point that are in better matchups. So I'm just not really looking forward to this game in terms of DFS. I'm excited to watch it as a football fan and see what's going to happen with these two teams. But
What have you
Roger.
heard any more definitive news about Greg Olsen, if he's going to come back in week six or not?
Yeah, so everything is trending to Greg Olsen playing.
Okay.
I would not start him this week. Most people coming off a big injury, or any injury, realistically, their first game back is hardly ever great. Unless they were in a matchup that is just fire, would I even think about playing them, right? And the Panthers Reds against the Redskins is not a fire matchup for a tight end. So I think you sit on it for a week before he even becomes a viable play.
Yeah, I almost like Christian McCaffrey a little bit more if Greg Olsen comes back, just because I think it's going to help to pull a little bit of coverage off of him. Christian McCaffrey is in my definitely viable for GPPs. I don't think he's horrible for cash, but I definitely like him way better for GPPs, primarily because of the over/under in this game. And I don't hate Carolina's defense. Or I've got five defenses that I'm okay with this week, and Carolina is one of them. They're doing the job on defense. I think that I've got them picked for a pick six this weekend. So, other than CMC and the Panthers defense, there's nothing else that I like about this game personally.
Yeah, we can move on. That's about where I'm at.
All right.
Next is an interesting game. So we have the Chargers Browns. It's 44.5 point over under. And This game does not sound sexy when you hear it with that over under. You know, you're looking at about 20 points each team, give or take. But I like a lot of things. Excuse me, I like a lot of things here. Melvin Gordon
Wait.
is.
How does it feel, real quick, before we dive into the analysis, how does it feel as a fan of football, as a human being, to just go into getting ready to break down a game involving the Browns and not just, oh, you know what? Let's just, Browns are going to lose. Let's move on. I mean, we actually have to talk about them like a legitimate team this year. That is,
Yeah, the it's
that's
crazy.
weird.
It's something that hasn't happened in literally forever.
I know.
And you know, I'm a Steelers fan. I hate the Browns. Some of my family likes the Browns, but I have more faith in the Browns than any Browns fan I've met. At the beginning of the year, I projected the Browns to be between 7 and 8 games, and they're actually still on track to be there, which
Yeah.
is crazy. And nobody believed me, but the Browns are legitimate, especially with Baker Mayfield. Like, this is going to be a pretty good team. They have
Yeah.
a very stout defense. They've got a lot of pieces, and once Baker comes into his own, man, I mean, they're gonna make the division interesting.
Yeah, hey,
So we'll just keep the analysis rolling with the Browns. Baker Mayfield is a GPP play for me. I think he's gonna have to throw the ball a lot. I think he's gonna throws the ball well. I think he's viable. And then I like Jarvis Landry. I think he's a cash play. Everybody knows he's a possessor. He catches the ball a lot, and with PPR, you know, half points for FanDuel and full point for DraftKings, he's a great play for both. That's about all I like for the Browns. And on the Chargers, I mean, the only guy I really like, just based on the over under, is going to be Melvin Gordon. It doesn't matter what defense he's going against. Doesn't matter what you try to do. The guy could run. The guy could catch. He's the poor man's Todd Gurley. At almost $1,000 cheaper, you know, he's gonna put up a similar stat line. Maybe not as many crazy touchdowns, but you know, he's gonna do good. So, poor man's Todd Gurley, plug him in.
From that game, so for smaller field GPPs, I like Baker Mayfield with Jarvis Landry, but for larger field GPPs, I'm going to go ahead and sit Landry and put Antonio Callaway in. His numbers, I think, are a little lower than where I expected him to be, but the opportunity this week is definitely there for him to kind of maybe have another coming out situation. So I'm not touching it in the smaller GPP, but in a bigger one, I'll definitely have some shares of that combination.
Absolutely. All right, dropping down the next game, Vikings Cardinals. There's some interesting things here. So the Cardinals are awful. Just stay away from them. Nothing to talk about there. But the Vikings have zero run game, but the Cardinals are the worst against the run. So in a GPP, if the crazy Dalvin Cook can figure out what is going on with his life, because Wednesday he was trending bad. He had a limited practice. Thursday, he was a full participant, which is like amazing. Yeah, lock him in. He's going to kill it, right? And now he's back on Friday to being in the limited practicing state and back on the injury report. So who knows what's going on over there? Hamstrings are really finicky things. So once he is healed, he's going to be good. But I do know that because the Vikings are going to go out dominate here. If he doesn't have to play, he's probably not going to. But if he does, that so keep an eye on the injury report. He is a GPP monster because the Cardinals are bad against the run, and he is cheap. But again, you're risking a hammy, which he could come out at any time and just screw your lineup up.
I know. Gosh. He's like a dagger in my side when it comes to season long, but yeah, Dalvin Cook is almost too iffy for me this week. Even in GPPs, I just like I don't see the Vikings needing to use him. I don't see them in, being in a situation in this game where they've got to lean on Dalvin Cook to get the win. So
Yeah.
even if he plays, I think he's going to see a very limited snap share. I think Latavius Murray probably has as many touches as him, probably close to a 50-50 is what I'm seeing for these two. But back on the other side of the ball, I feel like Arizona is going to possibly turn things around this week. Guys, we saw what Buffalo did, and we talked about Buffalo at the top of the pod, how they're not as bad as what we thought, but they also don't have a David Johnson, and David Johnson is an all-world talent who's getting underused right now. They are definitely they're not using this guy to his potential. And I think that they're starting to realize, okay, we need to kind of retool our offense and get David Johnson the ball more. He currently has an 84% snap share, but they've not been using him right. So if Buffalo can do what Buffalo did against this defense, Arizona has the pieces to potentially do something similar. So I'm not off of the Cardinals as a whole when it comes to GPPs. Certainly not a cash game, but I'm definitely looking at especially David Johnson for GPPs.
Yeah, I think with how bad the Cardinals are and how little David Johnson's being used correctly, I think until he's back to his old self, I think he's always a GPP play or candidate at least. And then back to the one last thing from this game, Adam Thielen, I think he's the safest guy in the world in cash right now. His only risk this week is them not having to use him because they're going to get so far ahead of the Cardinals. But even then, he's going to catch the ball a lot. He's a PPR monster. So, yeah, feel free to lock him up and feel good about yourself. So
Absolutely.
the next four games, we'll just read them all at once. And these low scoring games are where you find your defenses usually, especially if there's a good defense in there, because there's usually low scoring because there's an anemic offense also in there, right?
Right.
So you've got Bears, Dolphins, Ravens, Titans, Jaguars, Cowboys, Texans, Bills. I like the Bears defense. They're my favorite defense on the slate right now. I
Same.
like the Ravens and the Titans defense. Both offenses aren't crazy scary. They both have a great pass rush and they both create turnovers. So they could both score points even if points are put on the board. And then I love the Jaguars defense. They are the Jaguars. One of the best defenses in the game. And the Cowboys, man, oh, they're so bad.
Yeah. They need an offensive line. They need somebody for Dak to throw the ball to.
Yeah,
They
gosh. Yeah, tell me about that. Yeah, Allen Hurns complaining about not getting the ball. Like you're a wide receiver three on any other team.
Yeah.
Just
I thought, you
chill
know
out.
what? I had him projected at the beginning of the year to have a breakout season. I was like, okay, this is it. This is his time to shine. The guy shines about as much as a dark room.
Yeah, you must not have Allen Hurns in the Dynasty League where you know how bad he really
No,
is.
I don't, but
Yeah,
I feel
I
for
do.
you.
When he went to the Cowboys, I was like, yeah, it doesn't matter. The guy sucks. And then last game, Texans Bills. Again, I like the Texans D here. And the Bills are hit or miss. They'll get some turnovers. Even if they score points, they're going to make some mistakes. And then out of all eight of these teams, there's only one positional player that I'm looking at. And when I say it, you might not believe me, but Kiki, do you love me? Are you catching the ball? Because he is. Kiki Cutie, man. People thought it was just because Fuller was out, and then Fuller came back, and he still caught the ball. He still performed extremely well. So he's definitely an option.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, he's such an option. I can see with the matchups, looking individually, I can see both Kiki and Will Fuller getting more targets and more receptions than DeAndre Hopkins this week. I mean, this situation almost has me completely off of DeAndre Hopkins,
Yeah,
and looking at those two
absolutely.
guys.
I would not disagree with that at all. Well, that wraps up the segment of the Game by Games. In case you don't remember, you can find us at facebook.com/futuredfs, as well as Twitter at futuredfs. Get on there, check us out, subscribe. You're going to be extremely happy with all the information that we're giving you. And then to wrap things up here, each week we like to give you a couple players who we're locking in, put into the future cast, run it, and give you a lineup that is completely cash viable.
Yes, sir. So, who are we thinking this week, man?
So this week is a week with not a lot of big time locks because there's so many good options. But the one guy who I'm locking in everywhere, I'm not even thinking about it. It's Mohamed Sanu.
Yeah, absolutely.
Price to what he's going to do, I mean, you just can't deny it. And then mixing it up this week, because there are so many options, I think it's a good idea to pick a great defense, throw them locked in there, and then see what this spits out. So I love the Bears. They're my favorite defense this week. So let's lock them up. Let's see what this let's see what Futurecast gives us.
Okay. So guys, again, Futurecast is our optimizer. We've got Futurecast for both FanDuel and DraftKings for football, baseball, basketball, and hockey. Guys, I've been playing DFS for a long time. I've used other optimizers. This is literally, and I know somebody, everybody's like, he has to say this, or he's biased. I'm taking myself completely out of the equation and just looking at a results-based situation. This is the best optimizer I have ever used. It's beautiful. I absolutely love it. So, here you go, guys. Here's your free lineup. It gave us Jameis Winston. Love that. Todd Gurley, Joe Mixon,
Ooh, whoa! This line's already fire. I don't need to hear the rest. Plug it in, guys. I just can't.
our wide receivers, we got Mike Evans. We said, get a piece of that game. We're going to correlate that with Jameis Winston. Tyreek Hill. Oh, by the way, so I ran this using the Sunday Monday slate because since that's what we talked about. We know people are going to want pieces of that Kansas City New England game. So, and you can set Futurecast to work for, you want to do a smaller slate, bigger slate by, Xing out games. So, we've got this set for the Sunday Monday slate. Mohamed Sanu, who we locked in, Cameron Brate, who I absolutely love. This is interesting, but kind of goes right along with our concerns with Freeman. It gave us Ito Smith. Guys, while I'm on Ito Smith, if you play season-long fantasy, and especially if you've got Devonta Freeman, go get Ito Smith if he's on your waiver wire still. Please, 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 because if you've been watching, Tevin Coleman has been losing touches to Ito Smith. The team seems to love Ito Smith, and I think he's the next guy to step up if Freeman is down and out. So please, season-long players, Ito Smith, especially if you've got Freeman on your roster. And then lastly, the Chicago Bears, who we locked in.
I absolutely
I
am
love
in
it.
love with that lineup. What you could even do also, if you're just playing the main slate, take that lineup, take out Tyreek Hill, and just pick one guy in that price range who we talked about, and you are going to make some money, man.
Right.
Futurecast is amazing. That's the biggest reason to sign up, on top of our in-depth, amazing analysis. But
Absolutely.
Futurecast, man, it spits out fire every week. So again, just if you want to sign up, if you want to subscribe, you want to get some more of this, go to facebook.com/futuredfs. It's right there. Takes you to our pay site, gets you hooked up, gets you in our Slack channel, everything you need. And then soon enough here, we'll be sending you to our new website. Check us out on Twitter, has links to everything else we need, you need. And yeah, thank you guys for
one last thing.
Us. This is,
I'm feeling generous.
Whoa.
Guys, for the next 48 hours, let's see, it is, so we'll say, I'll tell you what, until kickoff on Sunday for this slate, if you go to our Facebook page, you like us, you share us, and you comment the word podcast, we'll go ahead and we'll post the link. We'll send you a link. You can get your first month for $10. Okay? So you've got we're going to send this podcast out here in a few minutes. Listen to it. Soak up the knowledge. Go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/futuredfs. Give us a like. Give us a share. Comment podcast. We're going to send you a link. Get your first month, only $10. That gets you everything. So thank you guys for tuning in. We really appreciate it. Thank you, Christian. Your analysis, as always, was absolutely fire. I'm going to take this lineup that FutureCast just spit out. I'm going to plug it in. Yeah, it's beautiful. And we'll see you guys next week.
Awesome, guys. Thanks, everyone. Thanks, Garen. We'll talk to you later.
Later.